The first thing is that the commentators point out is that as opposed to all the other constant mitzvos that we have, this is the only, this one is in the negative, which is a little bit interesting because you can understand the idea of a positive mitzvah that you do constantly or expected to constantly. I'm expected to try to love Hashem constantly. I'm expected to try to respect Hashem constantly. But when it comes to like negative prohibitions, let's say, for example, since you're a mashgiach, we'll talk about not eating kosher. Okay. So how do you feel not eating kosher all the time? So the Gemara says,
by literally not eating kosher all the time.
Right.
Like, but right, not eating that kosher. So
that's right. So both of us are not eating that kosher right now. And it's hard to imagine, though, that right now you would consider us involved in like the holy work of fulfilling
doing mitzvah, not doing. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So the Gemara says in Kedushin is that the way that a person fulfills a mitzvah through a negative prohibition is that, let's say they're in a moment where they find themselves, I don't know, at a business meeting and all the food is not kosher. And then they'll feel really embarrassed if they don't eat some of the food. And now they have a real yearning to eat some of that food and to be part of that business meeting. And they overcome that urge.
Right.
So at that moment, the person is fulfilling the positive aspect of the prohibition. Okay. That's how you could be fulfilling a prohibition. Now, if you go with that explanation,
but why would that require or entail that being a constant mitzvah versus just a mitzvah that, you know, you weren't fulfilling 10 minutes earlier, but when the moment arises for it, that's when you fill it?
Amazing. So that is the exact right next question to ask on this Mahalach. Meaning if the way to fulfill a mitzvah of a negative prohibition is when you're being tested and you overcome, so then the idea of having a constant mitzvah almost implies is that there's a certain urge constantly to do something.
Right.
And overcoming that would be the fulfillment of the positive mitzvah of Los Asuru, Acharei Levavcha and Vachareini.
Right. Like for the positive one of like always believe in Hashem, that one you're like, you know, actively thinking about doing it. And it's not like you only get the mitzvah when there's a reason to potentially doubt.
Exactly. So, but with regard to neg provisions, it's a little bit more complicated.
So, right.
So the question, now we're basically going to posit a theory that it must be that there's a certain Yetzer Hara or a certain that is with us constantly pressuring us and urging us to, to stray. And the fact that we have to constantly overcome that urge, that is the source of the positive mitzvah. Now, the question that arises is twofold. Number one, you know, as much as I'm sure people do feel sometimes that the HR is very overwhelming, do people really feel that they are all the time of their conscious lives being pressured by the HR to sin? Is that a real thing? Number one. And number two is that sounds really like a little bit like overwhelming. Like, is Hashem really like that mean that he put a Yetzer Hara in our life that we're constantly being challenged to overcome all the time?
Right.
That's really, really intense. So some quick points on this. Number one is that when Hashem creates the world, it says, Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa vihine tov. He saw that everything was good. And then it says, Vayar Elokim vihine tov ma'od. It was very good. So the Gemara says, well, what's tov and what's tov ma'od? So the Medrash says, tov is the Yetzer Tov, and tov ma'od is the Yetzer Hara.
Ah.
So Chazal called the Yetzer Hara tov ma'od. So that's also a little bit shocking because we would have thought the Yetzer Hara is something that is ra. That's bad. Just like the Yetzer Tov is tov, the Yetzer Hara we would have thought is ra. Why does Hashem call it tov ma'od? The one explanation is, use a metaphor of a wrestling coach. So the wrestling coach wants to help his pupil become an amazing wrestler. So the so right now, the wrestler is not a strong wrestler and he's not a experienced wrestler. He's not very good. So the wrestling coach puts him in a basic hold and he says, okay, I'm going to try to pin you now. You try to break out of it. You ready? One, two, three. And the wrestling coach pins the guy in 1 second. And he's, you know. Now, why is that a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara? Because when the Yetzer Hara, let's say, puts us in a situation and pushes us to fail, and then we fall, the Yetzer Hara doesn't get up there. You know, he's not like, we have this misconception of the Yetzer Hara being like this little devil with a pitchfork, you know, right, poking at us now and saying, ha ha, you know, I got you, you loser, you know. That's not what happens. Is that the Yetzer Hara is this wrestling coach. What's the point of the wrestling coach? The point of the wrestling coach is to make you as strong as you could possibly be. And therefore, he puts you in circumstances that in the beginning, you're for sure going to fall and you're for sure going to stumble and get pinned until you're able to learn how to be very, very strong. And you learn from those right experiences, as long as after the wrestling coach puts you down, he says, okay, now get back up. If you say, I don't want to get back up, so then you're right. You'll never learn. You'll never become strong. But if you get back up and think about it, okay, what went wrong last time? What could I learn from this? Let me try again. Let me struggle a little bit. You will learn both the wisdom and the strength to be much stronger in the future.
Right.
So the point, the reason why the Yetzer Hara is Tov Ma'od is because if you continue to work with the Yetzer Hara, even though he's going to cause us to sin and to do things wrong in the beginning, if a person over the course of his lifetime stays strong to continually working on himself and getting back up and struggling with the Yetzer Hara, so then he will become much, much wiser, much more self-aware, and much, much stronger through that process. So that's where the Yetzer Hara is Tov Ma'od. It's the greatest way that Hashem could give us to become as strong as we could possibly be. Any other way would never help us to become as strong. Clear?
Right. Yeah.
So what is the constant Yetzer Hara? So the pasuk that we're referring to now says, "Lo sasru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem," your heart and your eyes. What do these things refer to? So the Vilna Gaon says is that really every single avera in our life can be boiled down to one of two motivations. In Hebrew, we call them gaiva and taiva. Gaiva is arrogance, and taiva is lust or a desire for comfort or pleasure. Desire for pleasure,
right?
Every single thing that a person does wrong, says the Lagon, draws its roots from one of those two things. Even though there's a lot of different pressures, but every pressure relates either to a pleasure, and that's why we sin, or because of a certain arrogance or our ego that's driving us to make a certain decision.
Right.
These actually flow from very good parts of our being. Number one is that the, you know, human beings are built, you know, let's say in the perfect way of a tzaddik, he is built to yearn for eternal pleasure and olamaba. So if, however, we don't do that the right way, we might choose a counterfeit, which is to go for, you know, more physical pleasure, more instantaneous right pleasure, rather than to put in the work to gain the eternal pleasure. But the desire for pleasure is a real built-in desire that ultimately is there for good. It just can be misguided in if we're lazy and using in a negative way.
Right. It's
the same thing with gaiva. Where does gaiva really flow from? Hashem created us with a neshama that wants nothing much to resemble its source, its creator, to transcend and to be like Hashem. We were made to want to be like Hashem, to be powerful, to be creative, to make an impact, not in like a negative, arrogant way, but in a way that's who we are. We are the neshama, a spark of the divine. All we want to do is to be as great as Hashem, create like Hashem, do good things like Hashem. But if instead we don't have the resilience to follow that path, so instead it will come out in ego and in a pursuit for gaiva, which is sometimes an easier way to, you know, to feed our ego and to feed our desire for honor and respect, rather than to put in the work to actually fulfill that in a deeper way, which is to really put in the work to work in our midos to be like Hashem, to put in the work to make an impact and make the world a better place, and to, you know, do chesed that's sometimes uncomfortable, just like Hashem does.
Right.
So, the negative manifestation of these natural things that are built into us are gaiva and taiva.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like the gaiva and saiva, those really come out of that laziness, that easy way out, that you know, path of least resistance, so to speak, versus the other way is hold on one sec. Is really out of a place of, you know, putting in hard work and effort. So I wonder why that is. Why doesn't, I guess it does sometimes, of, you know, the Itahar coming out of, you know, difficult scenarios or, you know, harder situations. What was the idea behind that? but it seems like, you know, doing the right thing is difficult and doing the wrong thing is easy or lazy. Like, you know, with the concept of the wrestling coach, you know, it's not like the wrestling coach only puts you in a hold when you know, when it's easy or convenient.
Right.
You know, that's like just part of it. It should be more of an even balance, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's a great opportunity, you know, for you to learn something. Here, I'll put you in a test. Versus just like, oh, it's easy, it's lazy. Okay, now you're getting tested.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say, so I think the wrestling coach metaphor actually can still be used, is that it's not saying that, oh, you're lazy, now let's test you. It's that you're being tested. Are you going to choose the lazier way to deal with that? Just like the wrestling coach puts the guy in the hold. So now there's a choice. Are you going to fight or not? If you choose to not fight, you're going to get pinned. If you choose to say, you know what, yeah, let me fight a little harder this time. Let me try a little bit more. I want to try not to get pinned. So that's a choice a person has to make, to be willing to put in the harder work. So I wouldn't say so much that the wrestling coach necessarily comes at times when you're lazy, as much as choosing, you know, how you're going to respond to them. Could be, you could respond and react in a lazier way or maybe in a stronger way.
Right. Okay. I hear that.
Okay. Now, I guess I'm going to conclude with the following thought, because I do have to go at 6 o'clock for a next meeting.
No problem at all.
So the Chazon Ish really encapsulates this idea with the following idea. He says, when it comes to personal growth, there's really just one good midah and one bad midah. One good midah is, I will start with the one bad midah, since we're just talking about laziness, is basically giving up and allowing yourself to just go with your instinct. So your instinct is saying, do this. And then when a person basically chooses to not fight against that, to not choose a way of life of more value, of meaning, to choose something else, but just allows themselves to just go with their instinct, so that is the source of all bad midas. Mm-hmm. And the other side, and now there's millions of different types of bad midas. There could be anger, and there could be frustration, and there could be lashon hara, and there could be all different types of things that a person, eating not kosher food, all different types of things that a person can have different averas that a person could do. But the common denominator of all of them, the Chazon Ish says, is that a person pursues all of these different things from the same place, from the place of saying, I'm not going to place and choose to work and to put values or wisdom in front of my instinct, just follow my instinct. And the other side, there's one good midah. That one good midah is basically saying, I am not going to follow instincts. Not that instincts are bad. Some instincts might be good. And sometimes I'll use my instincts. But when I choose to, the good midah is that a person says is that I will place wisdom, choice, decision, values first above instinct. I will not go with just with the flow of instinct.
Right.
And those instincts really, according to putting everything together, according to the there's really two basic instincts. You know, those instincts are there for good reasons. But if we just allow them to follow them blindly, those turn into gaiva and they turn into taiva. So what the Torah is telling us, lo sasur acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem, is saying at every moment of your life, at every moment that you're awake, and that you can live a life where you're going to live in one of two ways. I can live with let's say, to follow the Yetzer Hara, these Yetzer Haras, which is, are saying just live following your instinct. Or I could live every moment of my life constantly saying is that at every moment of my life, I'm a chooser. I am not following instincts. I make my choices in life of what I'm doing.
Right. When I'm doing it. Using your intellect over your emotions.
Exactly. And not that emotions are bad, but they are not the things that make our decisions. So I think that the yisod, the foundation of this constant mitzvah, lo tasuru achrivam charei nechem, is that when we come to these two basic drives of a human being, of ego and of pleasure, the mitzvah is that there's a constant drive. These are always active in a person, not necessarily telling a person to sin, but always driving a person to follow them. And the constant mitzvah is to constantly live our life where, not that we ignore these drives, but that we don't, that we are constantly driving our life, saying is that I decide putting intellect, putting values above just following these instincts. And since these instincts are always there, it is therefore a constant mitzvah to choose to live a life where I'm not going to make my decisions based on those instincts.